This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no bathtub, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely fine.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentin O'Brien, a.k.a. Scrooge or Scroogey. I'm the host of the talk show, Inside the Inner City, that premieres on Guardian Radio every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Our producer in studios tonight is Wally, and we're going to have a very interesting show tonight. Our telephone numbers tonight on Guardian Radio are 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259. You can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-TR96. Yes. So we had two great shows last week. And I want to reiterate the fact that I was telling a little part of my life, the negative part, and then the positive part. And, you know, a caller last week said something that was very important. And what he said was he was given a definition on a particular matter. We were talking with the school kids getting sponsored by foreign investors, you know, saying we're taxing them, making agreements. Like, for instance, if they want to invest in the Bahamas and we have a feeding program here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, why not let them invest a certain percentage towards the feeding program, you know, like I said, if Connor will come in town and we negotiate this way in order to get revenue, you know, it'll be a plus for either company, for the Bahamas government and for Carnival Cruise Line or any investor coming to the country, because, you know, we want to see direct investment go right directly to Bahamian people. We have direct investment that goes directly to the Bahamas government and companies. Why not direct investment, government, and then pass it on to the citizen of the country, especially the kids, to make sure that they can be able to take care of themselves. You know, we can do this for just about any investor who comes to invest in the country. I want to say thanks to all my Facebook friends. I see my cousin Roberto. I say, YN3579. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope I have the camera and everything working properly. I hope I have the volume up properly. You know, I'm not a good cameraman, but I decided to have Facebook back on this week since they requested. Yeah. So I was saying we always got to be able to negotiate with investors who come to the Bahamas, because it's so important now with poverty, with the 19 months of COVID-19 that's been plaguing our country. The kids have been in school for a very, very long time. And we need to find ways on how we can get direct revenue. And we have to be smart on how we invest, or how we can let investors invest in the country. And one way we can do that is look at ways we could come up with a comprehensive program that could benefit Bahamians directly. You know, so if you have any investor coming in the Bahamas, whether it's Bahama, whether it's Atlantis, or the new companies that are coming to the Bahamas to invest, let's just ask for a little 1% share. And we could send it to the consolidated funds, and this money could trickle down to the kids. That goes to the school so they can take care of themselves. You know, we put the money into what's the department that is now, the administration department of the schools, and Like I said, weekly, the kids could get a sniping. They could get healthy food from Bomsy, which we have invested millions in. And to my estimate, there are tons of vegetables, fruits and vegetables that goes to waste and no way to distribute. This COVID-19 pandemic has exposed a lot of weakness. And one of those weaknesses, Lucas, I'm going to let you come on right now, one of those weaknesses is the immune system. So we have to be able to encourage persons to build up a strong immune system. Our kids are overweight, okay? Diabetes, you know, many of them have sugar and et cetera because they're not eating healthy. And we know if you don't have a healthy body, then you're prone to chronic diseases. So we have to use what we have in the country, and Bomsy can give kids the healthy, how should I put, supplements of vegetables that are available and grown here in the country. We're talking about like watermelon, pineapple, pears, you know, things that builds up the human body. So I just wanted to sit apart. So when the caller called and he said, we depend so much on government, and he was so right. But over the course of the years, I understood that too. So over the years, I've always said, you know, how can I find persons out there who can assist on helping developing the Bahamas, but the Pacific community, because we have to start somewhere. And over the course of the years, I met this wonderful lady. I was working down in the community, Miss Alexandra Melis. She is the former president of the Ron Flea Home for Children. And on my endorse and trying to make my community a better place, she reached out to me. We met. And when we met, she said to me that she was fascinated by the work I'm doing as a person who came off the streets and doing great things in the community. And she wanted to find any way possible to assist me. She said, I cannot help you financially, but I can help you by putting you with some right contacts. And when she said contacts, but she said to me, now, when you meet these people, you don't know who I'm going to bring to you. They could be rich or poor. But it's how you present yourself, how you negotiate for your community. So now I have the opportunity to meet people, but I have to also present myself in a way that I can fascinate these people who are coming into community to invest in the community. And she also brought a special, special person. I mean, this guy is a national hero to the country. In my eyes, I think he is a humanitarian, all right, first of all. And Ms. Alexandra Melis told me she's bringing somebody to me, a young man. He is in the same field as you. He lives in South Florida. He has a program called Fishing for Families in Need. He is doing the same thing you're doing over there. How would you like if I bring this young man to meet you? I say, Mom, let me just tell you this. Whoever you bring to me is you who presented themselves. So when I see that person, it's you. So when anyone she bring to me, I see Ms. Alexandra Melis, and I know I have to be on my best behavior. I have to be disciplined. I have to show respect, and I have to also be able to listen. And she brought me to this wonderful young man by the name of Lucas Metropolis. And Lucas Metropolis and I worked together in the community. He came down from South Florida. He saw me welcoming the kids in the Grantstown community, basketball and et cetera, and other programs I was doing, but I was not funded at all. I was just getting a little assistance from guys in the community and people from the community. And he said to me, wow, you do all this work for your community. He saw the need. He saw the struggles. He asked a lot of questions. You know, he asked, are they living? Are they paying rent? Is their mother and daddy present? And I said, well, I'm going to show you more than I can explain it to you. And as we canvassed the area over the course of his journey in the Grantstown community, he get defying old circumstances, he get defying old solutions, and he understand the problem that we face. And ever since, he has been dedicating himself to assisting people who reside in the inner city, Nassau, New Providence. But not only that, even other parts of Nassau, New Providence. And he has been able to assist us tremendously With the COVID-19 pandemic, with the hurricane that just devastated Abaco and Freeport a few years back, and it's continued to be assistance and a saving grace to many in the country, and what a real human being supposed to be. Not a part of PLP, not a part of the FNM, and he's not a Bahamian, okay? He is a foreign national who is contributing more than a few citizens here in the Cumberland Department. So let him introduce himself.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sirujan. It's kind of surreal to be, back in this room with you. I think my first visit to Nassau was in 2007, where I actually met Alexandra and her family.
Okay.
And fast forward to 2012 when I met you, and Alexandra said, you know what, hey, I know you run this great marine science program in South Florida. how would you feel about going over the hill today? And I had no idea where that was, and really the Bahamas was just, I had my own perspective. And I remember she dropped me off every day for a week. And she's like, oh, here's Scrooge. You know, he's kind of grew up on the streets. He's trying to do good in his community. He's been doing good for a while. Go meet the community, and I'll pick you up in 10 hours. And so I remember just spending every day with you, just walking the streets, playing basketball with the kids, and just really falling in love with a lot of the folks and that I was meeting. And fast forward, I think my role has just been really a facilitator, as a connector. When you met me, I was 21. And I wish I could do everything you talked about and wanted to do at the time. So it's been nice over the past, nine years, to watch kind of the folks that we could bring together, a lot from the Bahamas, but also some from abroad, folks that are passing through, new companies, et cetera. And it's been great to see Lend a Hand Bahamas come to fruition. And the first center there, the Neville and Nora Dorset Community Center, and now in the new year, a new center in the works to allow us to really expand the reach of the program under the direction of our executive director, Mitzi Ann Burroughs, and obviously Scrooge with your guidance and the help from our board. It's been really surreal, despite all the disasters that have hit the Bahamas as well, to see people. Again, we couldn't do anything without the folks that support us.
Yes.
To see everyone band together and want to make a difference, it's been really awesome just to watch that as a more of a spectator, as a facilitator. It's been really cool. And also, Scrooge, all the work that you've done. And I wouldn't be here. You really inspired me the first visit I did in the community. I went back to Duke University's school, and I couldn't focus in a single class. Because I just kept thinking about all the time I spent with the kids and how bad they beat me in basketball. Things like that. But yeah, it's great to be back.
Yes, I want to give. I see Bolo on Facebook. We say, "Cause I say jam cut." We say, "All is good, all is good." I want to say thanks to all the Facebook friends out there. And if you want to make change in your country, you're gonna have to go beyond politics. You're going to go beyond religion. You know what you're going to have to put your faith in? You're going to have to put your faith in yourself and hope that you inspire persons to come and be a part of a ship that is going in the right direction. And like I said, Lucas, to me, I was at my lowest point when you met me, because I've been working for years in this country behind the scenes, working with many different politicians in this country. If anyone listened to the show, anyone who knew me, I was quiet, but I was always working to give ideas to the politicians, which they would take and actually make it happen. But it's in that time, and they would actually push you aside, not let you execute your plan, which you gave to them. You'd see it. I would see it in legislation. I've won governments for governments, right? Well, I've won elections for governments off my ideas. Okay, I've given them great ideas when it comes to community development. As you can see with the Urban Design Lab, I've been a part of that. Okay, that's the Overdale Initiative. So I've been actively involved, never getting paid $1, fighting for my country. If I have a meeting with IDB Bank, I always mention plans on ideas on how we can make effective change. And they would listen, and then they would pass, they would meet with government, and they would give them funds to do some of the ideas we talk about. But what I'm saying is I'm a patriot for my country. You saw the suffering of the kids and the community. And I knew deep down inside, you cared. Okay? You cared. You wasn't worrying about how you're going to help. You said, I'm going to make it work. And what fascinated me about this young man, he never stopped. Never stopped. Never stopped. He got investors from all around from the Bahamas. We don't want to call none of those investors' name, because sometimes it's not best to open your mouth, because you get people who would go and pry on people and ask them for funds when they are not looking to better the community or have a plan. They want to better their pocket. So we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. No, you got to hold your mouth sometimes. And I learned this. I used to talk a lot about my persons who I meet and my friends who I introduced them to, the same people would go and talk behind my back. And you know what happened to them? After a while, they succeeded, you know. But then my true self, being true and honest, I ride the wave. And then people come right back to me and said, we made a bad, bad mistake. It ain't what it was. We see you as a sincere young man. So in other words, yeah, and Lucas has been working tirelessly for us here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And he's not a citizen of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And he has done so much for us. He has connected a lot of dots from Life at Key, from the Rotary Club of East Nassau, from Bahamas Base, for many people who I never could reach. And this is the reason I really did this, Lucas. I'm not a racist. We're not talking about no racism in here. But in this country, for too long, we've been divided in the country. There's this particular set of behemoths who have been residing in this country for a long time. And we'd say they live in the East and live in the West. And we'd say they're a particular color. But they've been donating for many, many years to many charity events across the country. But they always like to remain anonymous. And that's why their name is not out there. But for many, many years, they've been doing that. And why I'm saying that, I wanted to get people who we can reach so that you could be our spokesperson. And you did that fantastically. And we have been able to reach people who wanted to give back to the country, who wanted to give back to the inner city community. And that was all about. Go ahead, yeah. Lucas.
No, I was going to say, what's been really special, I'd say, about Lend a Hand Bahamas, and to kind of the points you raised, and you mentioned a few names, but we have truly a really diverse donor base. It's been, I think, when we built the first center, one of my favorite gifts was actually from a group of the kids in the community. I think they had a spaghetti dinner,
yes,
and raised $100 from, yes, families just coming together, excited for the center to be built. And to me, that was just amazing to see. And then if you really looked at our kind of list of supporters, I mean, you're talking younger, older, man, female, all different industries.
Call a company right now.
Sorry?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, there's just, it's been great companies, local, international. It's just, for me, it's been just amazing. And you also said I kind of opened the door to these people. For me, it's always been, I just provided them an opportunity to really support an amazing area, amazing things going on. And so, and that's really all we've been doing, is just with Mitzi and you and other folks that are running programs at the center, it's just been, there's such good work going on. It's so easy to talk with people that are near and far that just say, wow, that's so great what you're doing. We'd love to be part of this. And so it's just been great just being the connector.
And we're doing all this to get ahead of the poverty and crime in our community, to bring education and to bring ownership of business. So these kids who we have these programs for, they're going to be in their community. They have no excuse. State of the Art Center is going to be built. They're going to have the best tutors. They're going to have the best education. And they're going to be properly funded. So they're not going to be lacking nothing. So there's no excuse for kids in our community, right? But it has to be it has to be where the parents are also disciplined. And this is not something that is going to be given to you. They have to remember, I fought for the community. You came to support me, okay? And now you're getting people to support. So we let them know, you can't demand nothing. It, just like how I had to go out there and gather people together to make things happen, okay? And just how you had to go then gather to make things happen, not with their help, okay? Because you met me, I met Ms. Alexander, and that's how God is work. So what I'm saying to people out there are many people believe that they, just say, we're having a discussion. Call, I'm coming right now. We're having a discussion, and we're getting funded, right? People believe that. They demanding You can't demand nothing from Lennon Bombers. The only thing we have, what we're going to give to you freely. But we don't want no parents or nobody come and say, you're giving this one and you're not giving me. No, we're not all about that. It's hard work and dedication. We want people to be respectful. We want to create a better country. In order to do that, we have to understand and be humble. We're going to take this one call, Lucas, and then we're going to get back to the topic. Go ahead, caller.
Good evening, Scrooge. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Sparky here.
All right. Good night. What do you say, Spark?
Good. Congratulations, man. Keep up the good work, and, you know, see you again. You know, and you didn't say, you know, you hit the nail right on the head. I know about that same thing about going out there, and I usually ask people in my group, what have you done for your country other than complain, you know? And Scrooge, I know about that going out there looking for sponsors to get things done, organizing different things for the kids, and people taking your eye there, going behind your back to your sponsors, and then you go back to your sponsors maybe the next year to try to put on the event again. You find out that the sponsor telling you some people came behind you using your idea to get sponsorship for them, and you find out, you'd be so surprised that the same people who went behind you were people who were involved in your group and you was organizing things, you know?
Yes.
Then they take your event, your name, to change the name, do the same event or try to do the same event but just change the name to say they organize it, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like Scrooge, when I organized for 3 years in a row with Dr. Off and the pigs, the kites and gadgets thing up on the Western Fort for all the children, to give the children from all the special homes a day out to do all the old flying kites and boxcars and skates and thing up on the Western Fort. Then I organized the first Independence Rush, that somebody took that away. They named that the People's Rush, and different events. You know, you do these things out of the goodness of your heart just to help people and children to get the communities together, mm-hmm. and some people, like you just say, come behind, mm-hmm. not only for their own pockets, but just to go on, mm-hmm. blow themselves up with your idea.
Yes, sir. You're so right. Thank you very much. And Sparky, you made good sense. I want to give a shout out to all my Facebook. I see Brookshot on Fish Fry. Where are we going to eat tonight, Lucas? Well, we got a nice restaurant. We're going to Fish Fry,
oh,
Brookshot.
We're
going to Fish Fry. I see my friend Brookshot.
Okay.
I got you. I see Miss Thompson. Okay. Miss Thompson, yes. All right. Wadzali, thank you for tuning in. Yes, Miss Thompson. Okay. Yeah, Lucas. And that's what I'm saying. You know, we went out and we fight. We made sure fight for the community. So we don't want people to believe like Lenahan entirely. You know, we don't want parents come to the center and believe in like how I just say, demanding stuff. No, we fighting for the community. Supplies and education will be provided freely. We just need people to be more respectful when they go to the center.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that you hear Mitzi say all the time is kind of, we're all about a hand up,
yes.
not a handout.
Yes.
Obviously, we've done some, you know, giveaways, things like that are helpful. But that's generally, when you look at what's coming in 2022 in the
mm-hmm.
new center, most of the curriculum that we have and that's being planned, what you mentioned earlier, a lot of the process is, it's great to teach a child about, say, STEM education or
mm-hmm.
teach them a trade or a skill, but unless they have the opportunity to actually utilize it, it's really for nothing,
yes.
into an employment, maybe a passion, a career. So a lot of what we're doing in the new year is, one, able to triple the size of kids we're working with, but also be able to make a real pathway, not just for the kids, but also working with the teens, the adults, and even the seniors in the area, to actually make sure that we find out their passions, their interests, whether it be for employment or just, again, a hobby, et cetera, that we're able to help them and facilitate along the way. So you don't just have these one-offs. And that's what we noticed, Scrooge, and you opened my eyes to that, how many people originally were coming kind of over the hill and just offering one-off opportunities here and there. And it's great. But the problem was consistency, and especially with the kids. And we've seen that now, just trying to be more and more consistent, how it's actually changing some of the kids and just making them excited and involved in programs. And so that's, again, a big piece of what we're about as well, is that consistency aspect and what we've been doing.
Yeah. So what we are doing, we are building the village again. That's the whole idea, where we have an educational center. We get administration. So Lenahan is the administration. We're going to be the fundraiser. They're also going to be the facilitator to educate the kids in the community. So what do we have now? We're working in the area of Anderson Street, Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street. Okay, so that is a box, a square box. The Bahamas is small, but the Bahamas is big. You have a high volume of citizens living in this community, and especially kids. If you look at the streets at night when you go around Nassau, New Providence, you can see a wide range of kids hanging on the streets. And you know what that means? That means trouble for us. So what we're doing in our respective community, we're providing the best opportunity to make sure that our kids don't be idle on the streets. They're going to have educational programs. They're going to have physical programs. They're going to have a lot of field trips. And like I said, tell us what the new center is going to provide. But first of all, what has the center been providing in the last 3 years from the inception?
Sure, yeah. Obviously, with COVID, limited our recent possibility to do a lot of programming. But still, our staff was able to pull off a lot of virtual opportunities and other ways to engage safely. In the past few years, so really the center opened October of 2018. And so it's been great to just see in that short span of time to be able to see, we did literacy programs. There's a really cool electrical class happening right now. I don't know if you've seen that, Scrooge.
Yes, I watched it. I saw it.
With Mr. Brown. He's done a great job. There's a really awesome sewing program. We've done a ton of field trips that we took a group of kids who'd never been to Florida before, took them over for a summer camp.
Yes, yes.
I think 2 summers ago. So we've done a lot of interesting things. We played squash with some of our donors at one point, exposed the kids to different kinds of sports. But yeah, in terms of the news center, what it's going to have is, again, it's really double, almost even triple the space we have currently. Upstairs is going to be a STEM lab area. That's going to be focused anywhere from kind of computers to anything in the sciences. Mm-hmm. And also a lot of hands-on stuff. So we have a room that's going to be a maker space, and that's where someone like Mr. Brown will be able to have his electrical class. So it's all hands-on, carpentry, skills type-based programming. We're going to have a library that was donated by the Rose family. So that's going to be more so a kind of nice, quiet space for kids to really sit down and read, and adults, and to engage, even hold a physical book, which is getting rarer and rarer these days. Also, a big part of the first floor of the new center is going to be a culinary training, basically kitchen.
Yeah, talk about it.
Yeah, so that's going to be kind of half the first floor, almost half. And that is going to be an opportunity for, there's been a lot of folks that have been laid off from the hotel industry even still. And so that's going to be, we've noticed that in the community. We had folks come forward, like, hey, you know, I have a lot of experience in this. I love to be part of programming opportunities. So we also are looking at, I know Mitzi was looking at recently, even a food truck to allow for some of the kids that, and some of the adults as well, that get trained out of the program to kind of take the truck and have different opportunities actually using it for employment. So there's going to be those aspects, classroom spaces upstairs, there's also going to be a recording studio, which was donated by the Connery family. So who knows? Maybe some radio shows in there in the future.
Of course, definitely. I'm going to teach kids how to be journalists.
There you go. And we have some really talented kids in the community and outside the community that this is going to be an opportunity for. But as Scrooge said, we really focus in on these few blocks as kind of a zone that we just wanted to make sure that we really understood the needs, understood the families there. And we're still learning. But we're trying to prove a concept. And what we're trying to do is also allow, there's so many other similar communities that could benefit from what we're doing, and they've reached out to us, but we're just trying to be able to really prove the concept, prove the model, and then in the future be able to potentially replicate that in other communities to provide as much impact as we can.
Wow. So that's a lot of stuff going on in our respective community. So we're building a village, and what we're doing, we know that BTBY is Bayout Soldier Road. We know that the kids from our community would never be able to make it there on a daily basis. So what we decided to come up with our comprehensive plan, working together as a team, and coming up with ideas. We're networking with one another. And the only way you can do that, if you put differences aside, there's no politics involved in what we discuss. In fact, politics is barred from what we discuss. This is about humankind. This is about finding out ways how we can decrease crime and poverty in the inner city community. This is the first line of defense. We're trying to bend the tree, bend the curve before it gets out of hand. In our community now, we have a next generation of young kids growing up. They said before them, were gang leaders involved in a lot of gangs, negative activities, okay? So we want to curve that problem. If you notice now in the Grandstand community of Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street, you will see a decline in crime over the last 10 years in our community. And that's the effort of Salem Union Baptist Church, Pastor Hugh DeRoyal, Mission Baptist Church, R.E. Cooper, Ed Dorsett from East Street Gospel Chapel Church, Miss Gibson from Fellowship Church, which is situated in the Grandstand community, and Lenahan Bahamas working together with also Pastor Ferguson from Big Harvest Community. So we knew one another in the community, and we've been networking together. And each one of us have been grabbing sets of kids here, sets of kids here, and sets of kids here. So we all combining our effort, understanding the same need for the concerns of our neighborhood. And we know that we have to be able to provide an opportunity, a better opportunity for the young kids in our community and the residents of the community. So that's why Lenahan Bahamas is so important. It's bringing the mechanism us to bring the funds, bringing the mechanism us to bring the programs, bringing the mechanism us to bring structure, bringing the mechanism if there's special educators out there in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, we're bringing them in to the Lenahan new community center that we built. And this is all to better our community deal with crime and poverty and to uptake the lives of the residents that live in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. My producer saying we're going to have to take a commercial break. So please, don't go away. We'll be right back after the break. Thanks to all my Facebook friends. And give all of y'all a shout out after the break.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no love in the heart of town. Ain't no love in the show of the day. Ain't no love cause you ain't around.
Helping out each other, family and everybody. It's a simple act of kindness with you, me, and RBC.
RBC wants to spread acts of kindness during this festive season. One simple act of kindness for our friends, co-workers, and communities can cause the brightest smile. Help a stranger, give a food basket, or call an elderly person. Share your stories at facebook.com/RBC Caribbean.
Acts of kindness, RBC.
In a year when hugs and happy smiles have been few and far between, Fresh Market knows just how important this holiday season is to everyone. We've made our list, we've checked them twice, all to ensure that your holiday meals are filled with fresh and delicious ingredients. Our produce departments are brimming with seasonal favorites, our delis and bakeries are filled with holiday sweets and treats, and our grocery aisles are stocked with all your favorite essentials. It's the best time of the year, and we're giving you fresh for the holidays.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
There's no reason to skip holiday traditions this year once you know the facts about COVID-19 vaccines. These vaccines are safe and effective at preventing severe illness, hospitalization, and death. They've been placed through rigorous clinical trials and are used in countries throughout the world. Data confirms that vaccines can also provide protection against variants of the virus, including the Delta strain. COVID-19 vaccines help to protect you by teaching your body how to fight the virus. Without the vaccine, you and your family may be at risk of serious lifelong complications from a COVID-19 infection. By being vaccinated, you can remove regret and fear that someone you love will be impacted or die from COVID-19.
Merry Christmas to you.
Persons wishing to be vaccinated should visit the website vax.gov.bs. The Ministry of Health and Wellness also encourages persons to pay attention to announcements on when a pop-up vaccination center will be hosted near you. This message is brought to you by the Public Hospitals Authority. The Public Hospitals Authority, working together for best quality healthcare.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome to the inner city, inner city, inner city.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no love in the heart.
We're back on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, aka Scoochie or Scrooge, and it's a pleasure to be your host. We're talking about building a village concept back again in the country. Okay? I see my good friend Marco Mukadi, my schoolmate, Daddy Blacks that shares watching, wearing a non, tuning in. I want to say thanks to you guys for tuning in. So when we want real development, our individual has to go over there and really wants to make the change in the country. And like I said before, I'm so happy that I met you, Lucas. You are a blessing in disguise for the country and for my community. You know, when I was to my lowest, and I was saying, man, you know, I can't let this community become corrupt. You know, we did damage in our community. We destroyed our community, you know. And we made that happen with our parents, you know, and I grew up into it, you know. And I have destroyed my community and my country. And I reached a stage in my life where I wanted to change my life around. In fact, I changed my own life around. No pastor changed me around. No prison changed me around. No streets changed me around. I just came to a point in my life where I said, you know what? I am an intelligent young man. I think I need to do the right thing. And I need to start to become more positive. So since I took that road, I've always said to myself, I need to do better. And doing better means looking at the problem that you have created and finding ways on how to solve those problems. And also you have to put yourself aside, and you have to put ego aside, you have to put jealousy aside and all this stuff aside, because if you want something to come to tuition and be successful, you're going to have to get people involved in different parts of the program. And what I was able to do is when I met you, I let you run with the organization. When you said, you know, we're going to build this great organization, we're going to bring everyone on board. It was the greatest experience for me, because now, even though we are founders, but we're equal to a table, you know, Lucas? And that's the most important thing. We are founders of the organization, but we are also equal at the table. We can have discussions with one another without quarreling or holding malice against one another, because this program is bigger than us. This is something that could actually bring down the crime a level in our country, could bring down the poverty level in our country. And we have a society where we get the next generation, your own kids are business persons. They are very successful in their lives. They are family oriented, means they have a family structure with husband and wife, or a boyfriend and girlfriend who has children, and they are sticking together. They are working together as a team. It's a 50-50, and we have a better community because it would pass on to their kids, and their kids would be able to teach their kids, etc. So this is what Lenhana is all about. This is what we're trying to do now. We're trying to build back the character in our young men and our young women. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is we have developed the community, if we put the right institution and programs in place, and that's what we're doing in our community in here in the Cumberland of the Bahamas. And like I said, this young gentleman is a foreigner. I would also like to give a special shout-out to Ms. Sheila Pritchett. She is just an awesome lady. She has gone all out for the resident of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. She has been out there asking for support, donors, and she has been bringing in and raking in the funds to be able to assist persons in the community, and also in Freeport, Grand Bahama, and in Abaco.
All over.
So tell us about the feeding program that just went 19 months, like how Lenahan Bahamas was able to distribute food packages. And
yeah, and Sheila was a great help with that. Yes. And it constantly helps every chance she gets, along with her husband Robert and her family. The feeding program, I mean, that was one thing where when COVID hit, I remember March of 2020, I guess, mm-hmm. We started seeing, you know, cases go up, things start shutting, and we started realizing that we knew the families in the area where we had the center were going to be hurting. Many of them worked in hospitality, probably going to get laid off or temporary. And so we started deciding, you know what, let's at least look at these kind of 2-3 blocks. Let's make sure we're supporting the families, the kids that are in our program. Let's at least try to support the families. And I never realized how much food costs, mm-hmm. really, to mass feed people. And obviously, you're trying to get the best items you can. It's not always the easiest when you have to support so many. But we started supporting, I think it was about 400 families or so at first, a few hundred families. We kept that going really into April, into June, or sorry, May, June. And then we were asked by the National Feeding Task Force and the government at the time to basically, they asked, hey, would you take a chunk of the island and help support? We're going to split it between different charities to strategically attempt to feed. It's going to be a lot of people, most likely. And so we basically took the downtown, the city zone, it was called, mm-hmm. Which was a lot of people. I think we definitely could have drawn the lines maybe differently, but it was a really big amount of people because, as you know, the density downtown in terms of population per home is quite high. So we, at one point, we were supporting 56,000 plus people weekly, and that was for, I think, at least 8 weeks or so during that whole program. So that was the peak, and it got quite bad, and it was really the stories that Mitzi or Sheila or others can tell you, and I went on many of the kind of the support runs we did to the different communities. And we also split up, like Angleston, for example, or Grantstown, Bainetown. So we really split it up. But it was really eye-opening to see the desperation during COVID. Families were really, really hurting, still are. But it was great that we were able to. At first, we kind of were reluctant because it is such a huge task. And we were all focused mostly on, you know, educational programs, et cetera. But we saw it as a need that we had the capability to step up, that it was a need that we should do, and we did it. And we had our warehouse. We had a ton of volunteers, donors stepping in to help pack bags. We had a lot of vendors on the island, distributors that were donating some of the supplies as well, the food supplies. And we really tried to just do everything we could. And we had a lot of other little pieces. I think at one point we had a PicTut Bank had donated money to help with I think stoves at one point.
Yes.
And that was, we realized that was a huge problem. We were giving food products at one point that people couldn't cook necessarily because they didn't have
a stove.
So we really, again, it was a learning process as well, and nothing ever goes perfect. But I do think overall it was a tremendous lift, and it was remarkable to see not just our charity but others like Hands for Hunger and Feeding Network, Red Cross, Idea Relief. And others that I probably forgot, step up to really rally together to try to fill a void that was really a huge problem in the Bahamas. And and Lenahan was just happy to be a part of it. And we also learned a lot about the communities that were seeking to help. Some of the data and just kind of learning more and meeting more families, it opened our eyes as we're building the second center in 2022 and hopefully others in the future. It opened our eyes to what are the needs and what are the demographics, right? So it's always naive to say, oh, let's just build a center right here because this is the perfect location. Well, you know, it could have been better maybe perhaps in another neighborhood because, you know, they have a higher density of children or there's a lot more poverty in that specific pocket. So it taught us a lot. And it taught us even how you approach just kind of overall philanthropy, even in Over the Hill. And what Lenahan has always been is, it's becoming more and more, is a hub for support. Because I had a lot, at least what I found early on, was there's a lot of people that wanted to help kind of Grantstown, Bainetown area and others, but they didn't know where to go oftentimes.
Let's say, hold it right there.
Yeah.
You hear what the young gentleman just said, there are many persons out there wants to help, but they don't know where to help. So that's why Lenahan was formed. And if you are a citizen of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you are genuine. You're not into greed. You're not into getting rich. Blessings would come. And you sincere. Just like what the young man said, when he said there are people out there looking to support, okay? Make yourself an honest person. And if you make yourself an honest person, God will bless you for those persons to come in, and you'll be able to start your program. I start off with nothing, not $1. And we're going to talk about some of the donation. We're not going to call no names on who gave the donation because it was in the newspaper. I'm just going to use that as an illustration of not having a dollar, starting a program. But look where we are now. We don't have a community center. Now we're going to a next community center, and we get sponsors year-round for the kids and the community feeding program. We're going to have latest labs and STEM labs and radio station, and man, this is going to be awesome. I can just imagine the kids. So this is what you can do. And listen, the support came first by making a change as an individual deep in my heart and being honest. Secondly, it came when I met Ms. Alexandra Melis, because God sent people to you. You know, He sent people to come, and there's the one who can carry you to the next level. And I met her. Then I met you. Then I met Antonius Roberts. Then I meet her sons, her uncles, George and everyone else, you know. And then I just met the Simonettes. Then I met the Moscos. Then I met so many different people, you know, just starting off. And because I was honest and I was truthful and I was respectful, I made a connection with all those guys. And you made a connection with all those guys. And you were able to harness that and create something so great. Lucas, I just want to tell you, you have been a guardian angel for many people in this country when they needed it the most. I just want you to know that. From my heart, you took so much pressure off me as a person living in the community. You and Mitzi and Sheila Pritchard, Ms. Alexander Millis, you guys have made me so proud knowing that I'm being able to help people through your hands. Okay? And some days I'd be home sleeping. Why is you guys are working? And then I hear everyone that's coming talking to me and see them going where they gift box or grocery or they get the kids get their phone and, you know, they get their little $100 voucher to go to the Chinese to get their grocery and all this stuff. They get their bed. They get, man, Lucas, man, you know how good I feel just to be sitting down here, the people talking as they walk in the streets and just saying, wow. You know, I just want to say it's gone beyond my expectation. I fully support you. Whatever it is that you are doing, continue to do. Long after me and you are in our grave, this organization is going to go on. I think we're going to see the results of these kids and the community residents. It's going to turn around. We're going to see some guys turning 100S. We're going to see some guys turning 1,000S. We're going to see some guys turning millionaires and females. And what we're going to do, we're going to see a lot of small businesses be popping up in the Grandstand and Lewis Street area. Mm-hmm. And we hope to keep that up and expand it and encourage other people that if we could do it as a team, a person who are humanitarians concerned about the kids, the elderly, the teenagers, U.S. concerned about humanity. You know, this is what we need in the country. We need direct results. This is direct results. This is how you curb crime. This is how you curb poverty. Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to say that, man. Words can't explain it. But I'm so proud to have met Ms. Alexander. I'm so proud to have met you. I'm so proud to have met the people she have introduced me to. I'm so proud of the people I've met on my own. But overall, when you think there's no hope, don't never give up. Because now we're being able to help so many, and we continue to help so many. And we're going to see so many kids who are already doing so great. Tell us. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited. 2022 is going to be a big year.
Big year.
We have probably 3 or 4 major announcements that we're not going to say tonight, but
yes,
we'll be releasing in early 2022 that will really be quite unique and innovative and impactful for Over the Hill, mm-hmm. And expand our reach even further into many different areas.
Yes.
But no, it's been, I mean, you keep mentioning kind of me as a foreigner. People always ask me, why are you doing this? You're not getting paid. You're a volunteer. Mm-hmm. Going back to when I first met you, and I went back to the States and I was like, you know what? I got so much to do at school. I got to just focus. But I couldn't get out of my head just all those experiences with the community, how they welcome me so easily with the kids and growing up in a family of 6 kids. Father was a priest, mother was a nurse. Kind of watching them always go above and beyond, no matter what the situation was, and then also be an environment of such a big family, and recognizing my siblings and I always kind of helping each other and working together, always trying to move forward. For me, it was something that was just natural. I didn't see whether it was kind of across the water or not in a different country. Growing up in Southeast Florida, only, 45 minutes away, it was almost like the Bahamas is our neighbor. And so it was always nice to be able to come over and participate. And I always saw it was just kind of as helping a neighbor type initiative. And it's just been awesome to watch it blossom. And it wasn't just me. I mean, to see, could have done nothing without people like yourself and others that you've mentioned tonight. And also clearly the donors. I mean, I'm inspired when my biggest role has been probably fundraising.
Yes.
And
that's very important.
Yeah, it's
that's
very important. But meeting these people that I've talked with and told about what we're doing there, it's been really inspiring to see, you know, fundraising is often kind of considered a very kind of dirty job sometimes.
Yes.
And it's been just inspiring. to see people with such passion and such interest to help and being able to coordinate them and get everyone coming together.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. I just want to say this. When you had Lucas talk about fundraising, and he say, you know, it's kind of, you know, in between, because when you're trying to get fundraisers, people believe there's all kind of conspiracy. Now, this is when you put animosity, greed, and jealousy aside. When Lucas said to us, when he said, Mr. Dawson, he said to me, he said to himself, he said, we're going to do this where we do this right, because we can't mess up. We have to make sure that everything that is sponsored to this organization to help the kids, to help the community, is done 100%, okay, what it's supposed to do. So it's honesty. I just want the general public to know that. Me, I don't deal with nothing with no finance. I didn't even look. Lucas's update to me. You know why? Because I know it's in the right hand. The organization budgets properly, and it goes where it's supposed to go. And the most important thing what I want people to understand, as long as you put yourself aside, knowing that something is working, no problem would occur. If I was the one keep on meddling and meddling and meddling, no, that is not what this is about. The money to me is Lucas, okay? I want to be able to influence Lucas, and Lucas wouldn't be able to go there and ask people to assist a cause if I don't respect Lucas, if I don't trust Lucas, okay? And I trust him with all my heart, because I saw he cared about the kids, you know, when he was by my place. I watch him interacting. So when I look at a person, all right, I could tell whether they care or not. Just like a handshake. I could go to a meeting, Lucas, and I could shake someone's hand, and they can give me a handshake, and I know they don't want to shake my hand. You don't understand?
Yeah.
I can just know they don't want to shake my hand just by the way they hold my hand.
Yeah.
So we have instincts. So in other words, why it's so great. You know, so Lucas, like I said, I didn't know it was going to be possible to actually see that the kids are going to have proper computers. They're going to have proper clothes. They're going to have proper education. Okay? And they're going to be tutored in their community. So the results are going to be a 100 turn around, because, like I said, we're going to have an educational center in the community. We have the parks, we have the church. So we're all collaborating together, and we're going to build a village again. And to all the sponsors who help support Lennon Bahamas, and Lucas is a great negotiator. I would like to say to all those who donate to Lennon Bahamas that you're helping to change a community and change the residents in that community. You're already reaping some of the benefits. You could see crime has completely gone down in the community. We still have problems, but once we introduce the empowerment with the new center, especially with the training part, when we're talking about scroll works and behemoth artifacts and wood carving and raiding here, I think those are some of the things that we're going to also be doing to the center. We're going to take a break in a little bit. Go ahead.
Oh no! One thing I was going to say is what I really love about being so close to downtown is I think I was told, Mitzi had shared with me, that I think it was like over 2,000 people had just, right before COVID, wandered into the center and just were volunteering. So it's so cool to see.
Okay, we're gonna hold that thought. Lucas, we're going to be right back after the break.
Inner city, inner city, inner city.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no love in the heart of town. Ain't no love, and it's sure not for pity. Ain't no love, cause you ain't around. When you were mine, oh, I was feeling so good, cause your love lit up this whole neighborhood. But now that you're gone,
You know the sun don't shine from the city hall to the county line. And that's why I said ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no love in the heart of town. Ain't no love, and it sure is a pity. Ain't no love, 'cause you ain't around.
See something? Say something. Call Crime Stoppers Bahamas in Nassau, 328-8477. That's 328-TIPS. Or from the Family Islands, 242-300-8477. That's 242-300-TIPS. Be safe and happy holidays, Bahamas, from the directors of Crime Stoppers Bahamas.
Helping out each other. Family and everybody. It's a simple act of kindness with you, me, and RBC.
RBC wants to spread acts of kindness during this festive season. One simple act of kindness for our friends, co-workers, and communities can cause the brightest smile. Help a stranger, give a food basket, or call an elderly person. Share your stories at facebook.com/RBC Caribbean.
Acts of kindness, RBC.
Persons older than 60 years and those with underlying chronic conditions such as diabetes and high blood pressure are at higher risk of being infected by COVID-19. In nursing home facilities, COVID-19 can spread easily among seniors and the impact can be severe. Special care must be taken to make sure our seniors in nursing homes are safe. To protect these residents, no in-person visitors should be allowed at any nursing home facility. All healthcare workers should wear personal protective equipment, including gloves, masks, and gowns when they come into contact with nursing home residents. Frequent hand washing, especially when caring for several seniors and carrying out procedures, is recommended. Cleaning of frequently touched surfaces must be done consistently throughout the day. Healthcare workers and caregivers should stay at home if they are ill with respiratory symptoms such as coughing, runny nose, fever, or shortness of breath. If a nursing home resident becomes ill with respiratory symptoms, they should be properly masked, then isolated in a private room. The facility administrator should call the Ministry of Health Surveillance Unit immediately and follow their instructions. For more information, call 511. The call center at 502-7382, 502-7382. Visit www.bahamas.gov.bs/health or covid19.gov.bs or email us at covid19@bahamas.gov.bs.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome to the inner city, inner city, inner city.
In the heart of the city, ain't no love in the heart of town. Ain't no love in the show of the day.
We're back on Garden Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scrooge or Scrooge. In studios tonight, it's my main man, Lucas Metropolis. I want to say thanks to some of my guests. I mean, our Facebook friends. I see Muggy Kim Cole. Muggy is an international basketball player. Grew up in Grandstand. Now he's playing international in the European League. I want to congratulate him. He just recently had a young son, and he is doing quite well for himself. He was one of them was able to get out there in the city community, and now he's doing great around the world. Him and his brother are playing professionally. For professional basketball and doing very well for themselves. So I want to say good night to you. I see Puff Daddy, Orlando Miller, watching also on Facebook. I want to say thank you. And my good friend, Marco McCarty. And I see Dwight Scrawn. Yes, I'm good, general manager. I'm very good. I'm good tonight, general manager. I'm Guardian Radio 96.9. Yes. So Lucas, we're doing all this to better the Bahamas. I And we're starting in the Grandstand community, but we are spread our wings during the pandemic and the natural disasters of the hurricane. We're talking places like Freeport and Abaco. And now, when the COVID-19, you've been doing a feeding program. Okay, so where we're headed now, what is your thinking in the future for Lenahan Bahamas? You're talking about expanding it, and you're trying to make the community with the first center and the second center, which is being constructed now. You want to make sure that kids, especially who are in the programs, that they become successful. So we're going to monitor them. So how? What is your plan? Step by step, what you think? Like, what is the next step? Besides when the center is built, we're going to tutor the kids. We're going to make sure that they become educated. We're going to make sure they become their own business owners, et cetera, or whatever trade they're good at, painting, et cetera, music, et cetera, or computer studies, et cetera. What is the next step?
Sure. So one thing we'll be introducing in the new year with the new center as well is kind of this new database that we customized. We basically made it from scratch, and we made it fit really well with kind of mostly the environment we're working in and kind of where we're trying to go. And so I mentioned this because something that really sets us apart in a way is how we're trying to tackle some of the problems that we're addressing is pretty data-driven. And we have been collecting as much data as we can. And what I mean by data, I mean, you know, participation in programs, demographic data of folks we're trying to help so we can really understand where are some of the holes and how can we help. Academic, synthesizing, you know, academic records and understanding who are the kids that are slipping through the cracks. And let's say they're getting a D or a failing grade in reading. Well, if they're only coming to 20% of our literacy program, there's a problem there, and someone from our staff needs to kind of talk with the family and see how we can help. So saying all this is really in 2022, we're going to be doing a lot of collection of data to help inform kind of the model of what we're trying to do and take that and then be able to allow. We've already had a lot of different communities come forward and say, hey, you know, we've done this or that, or we're trying to do this. Can we do it with you? Can you put something out south? Could you put it out east? And could you put it in Freeport, Abaco, Bimini? So we have a lot of, what we've really been focusing on though is getting it right. And it'll never be perfect, but we've seen it since 2018 in kind of our current center. We've seen a lot of great progress, as Scrooge mentioned. But now we're at a point where we can really move towards, okay, now let's iron that out. Let's really lay it out on the table. Let's allow other groups to come in and really check it out. And then look at how do we replicate this. And you see this, I mean, I've seen models of this in the States, I've seen it in Europe. And so we're just trying to look at it, kind of this community-based development. But also one thing that I think is really unique with us, Scrooge, is when we decided where to put the center, we really put it in the community we're looking to help, right?
Yes.
A lot of times when we look at sort of addressing a, kind of a community, oftentimes people put it on the periphery of a community, and sometimes that's a safety issue, et cetera.
Yes.
What I've noticed with the current center, and I hope I don't jinx ourselves, but I think when you talk even about, like, you know, thefts that happen, say, over the hill, I've been amazed that since 2018, I don't think we've had one incident, and that talks to a lot of the respect from the community and the value of what we're providing. And I think the kids, what's been amazing is to see them being so protective of this resource, and also the center we've developed, seeing what a sense of community it also fosters. So you've had other kids come for like Mason's Edition.
Yes, Mason's Edition.
And Baintown come into Grantstown and kind of normally on the basketball court, maybe they're talking trash and not wanting to play together. But at the center, they're sitting in a sewing class.
Yes.
And you see some of the biggest boys making a pillowcase or something. And I love seeing that. But
yeah,
in terms of future, I mean, so again, it's replication. One big thing we'll be introducing that we haven't really spoken about, and it'll be more announced in the new year, is we're actually creating a hydroponics farm outside the community, but we're also going to be looking to do some of the growing actually in the community of vegetables, like you've been talking about.
Yes.
And that's where you led the conversation with health. And really, as you said, Scrooge, none of these kids can participate or these adults in our programs unless obviously health is critical.
Yes, that's most important.
And so that's another big focus. I think COVID has really woken a lot of people up to the need to promote healthy living. And so we'll be looking a lot in 2022 as well as we look to kind of round out and help these kids, especially develop, making sure we can provide resources to really help them on that journey of healthy living. But again, going back to replication, looking at some of the family islands potentially and helping really, and serving as this, as I said, we were a hub over the hill in a way. There are, coming from Florida, again, there are so many friends that I know and just strangers I know that come over the Bahamas all the time for a quick visit, drink a quick click, shoot back to Florida. And so I want to kind of get them to just get out of some, and obviously enjoy these great hotels yes. that are here, but kind of bring them out. I know I'm bringing a whole group of kids from
Florida again.
Yeah,
from
Duke University, actually. In the springtime, I think hopefully about 30 or 40 of them.
Yeah.
And I told them, guys, we're going to enjoy the hotels, but you're going to spend a day and we're going to go over the hill and we're going to kind of get involved. And I want you to really experience the real culture of the Bahamas.
Yes.
And also give back in a way. So, yeah, that's kind of what we're all about. I mentioned before the break about kind of the voluntourism aspect.
Yes.
And that is also something we really want to promote in the future. We have now had thousands of people in Scrooge. You've met many of them.
Yeah, so many.
You've been a great tour guide to many.
Yes.
But we have so many people, younger and older, of all different races, that want to come here and they want to give back. I know last week we had someone reach out saying, hey, I'm here with my child and I really want, we're staying at a really nice hotel, but I also really want to kind of, is there any volunteer opportunities? Can I come and help out with a program? And they did. And they loved it. And following that, she went ahead and made a donation to support the project moving forward. But again, really trying to promote voluntourism, trying to get the tourists that come to understand and interact with more folks. And also, I think it's great for the kids
yes.
to meet people from all over the world visiting and to meet them and understand some of their culture. So,
by meeting people from around the world, that's what changed me. You brought so many people to me. Ms. Melis brought so many people to me. Going to Rotary, meet so many people, and that's how I changed my mindset, and I know how to negotiate. By knowing how to negotiate and meet new people, it opened so many doors. I want to give a shout-out to my good friend. I see Jerry. What do you say, Springer? I see you. Ball of Moon. Yeah, man, respect. Yeah, all the guys from the inner city community hitting up on Facebook, and they're supporting the show, and they're supporting me because all of them know where I've come from. But I want the Bahamas to know this. We are doing this to better our country, to rid our country of incidents like Bella. Lenahan, Bahamas is serving as a beacon that any kids that are being abused, Lenahan, Bahamas will be there. That's why we have our administration staff, we have those kids, our eyes and ears, we have the community resident eyes and ears. So if we have any kind of treatment of young kids in our community, we will know about it and we will know how to deal with it effectively and fast, right? That's why we're building a stronger village concept in our community because we know how important it is. Little Bella, you know, lost her life because, you know, 4-year-old negligence on the mother's behalf, on the boyfriend's behalf, and on the neighbor's behalf. You know, she wanted help. She asked for help. A lady helper did the best she could. But with a fair, we failed. And that's why I understood this even before Bella. I understood this from when I was involved in gang activity in the country because I never grew up with a mom. I never grew up with a father. I want to say thank God to my grandmother, who's now deceased, my auntie and uncle Lily Brennan, and Barry Brennan, they were there for me. But at the end of the day, like I said, what Bella went through, having a mother and a father, I just want to make sure, and Lucas understood this, Ms. Alexander Miller understood this, the family life in this country has been destroyed. We've become abusive, become deceitful, become liars. And we want to reconstruct that again by building a stronger community.
Yeah, and the center is not to take the place of a family.
No.
But it's supposed to be a resource. And it's been really nice and to hear mostly stories through Mitzi, but also meeting many of the families in the community to see the way that they've begun interacting mm-hmm. with the center. and able to kind of come and talk to Mitzi, whether it's a complaint or something good, be able to come and kind of talk it through and be able to see how we can best kind of move forward. And I think that's really, really important when you talk about community development. One thing we don't try to do, and again, it's a learning process, getting better and better, but one thing I love that Mitzi's really doing now is also hearing from the community, right? Like, what are the needs? A lot of times charities come into a community and they say, hey, you know what you need? You need a literacy program. You need this program, this, and this. And at first, I think we kind of started with a little bit of that, but it's been nice then all of a sudden before we knew it, I think some families said, you know what? We'd love a sewing program. I used to do that as a kid, and I'd love to. And then we also had some of the boys say, hey, you know, I want to make my own clothing line. And before I know it, I see, like I said earlier, all these like tough guys in the streets now sewing different designs into their
changing
jeans.
Changing their mindset, bringing that opportunity to them.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so interesting. I don't remember the little entrepreneurial incubator we did at Atlantis that hosted us. It was really cool to see some of the kids who had not really done much public speaking get up on the stage and talk about an idea that they thought through. And we're going to do with the new center as well, and even outside the center, looking at entrepreneurship. I think there's a lot that we'll be teaching in our programs that those jobs don't even sometimes exist in the Bahamas currently. So we'll be looking to actually create a lot of these different opportunities. So you'll see a lot of really interesting things, and I really encourage people, as you might pass through these streets driving 60 miles per hour, first of all, slow down. But second of all, stop by the center and actually come and see kind of what we're about, because you're going to see a lot of really exciting stuff coming out of Over the Hill that I'm really looking forward to.
I want to give a shout out to Anku Saru. I see Nate. Nate is hitting me up from way Dubai. Boy, you in Dubai. You hit the jackpot. Nate in Dubai, my co-host. Yeah, he's been on vacation for a little while, but he's in Dubai and he's hitting me up and saying, keep the good wake up, Lucas. Yeah, Nate, respect. All right, my cousin, Roberto Noble, and Anku Saru, yes, Quebec Church, you know, very spiritual guy, telling the truth about Christianity. Yes, Lucas, and all this is to help develop the community. We just want to build a stronger village, because it's most important that we have structure in our village, you know. And Lucas, I just want to say, you know, keep up the good work. You're a blessing to us here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and you have helped us daily, and I want you, you're going to continue to help. I also want to say this. We're not going to say the person's name, but in order to let the Bahamian public know on the hard work you're doing and how you're negotiating on behalf of the Bahamian people, not being a resident of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, but based on the fact of being a humanitarian and coming to a cause that you feel is just, like you said, you left the Bahamas and you were just schoolwork and et cetera, but you couldn't sleep. You know, you always think about the kids in the Bahamas and what they're facing. You wanted to help, and you are provided that, you know, and I must say, you know, that's amazing. That's just amazing. Whew. So you want to say anything else, Lucas?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I know it's going to be, we're doing a big, we're not going to say all the details because I don't want too many people to show up, but next week, we're going to be doing a huge toy drive for the holidays as well, in partnership with a recent supporter.
Okay, so we're going to put it like this. Just recently, Lanahan Bahamas got a special donation from a company in the Bahamas. They have donated $500,000, it was in the newspaper on Facebook, and we got an additional $100,000. Sorry. I just saying that, and that is go towards development in the inner city community and help with the development of the community center. And also, they're being able to assist with Christmas giveaway, 1,000.
It's going to be 2,000 toys, I believe. But yeah, we'll have with the community center and all that, all those announcements will come out in the new year, specifically about kind of the new supporters that are coming forward to help us out. But no, it's been remarkable to see, again, so many different kinds of groups and companies and individuals that are just willing to get involved. And yeah, I'm really excited for next week for the toy giveaway sponsored by this company that, again, everyone will hear more about. Right. I don't want to spoil the surprise.
All right. So Nice. We don't want to spoil the surprise. We got to take the next break. But before I take the break, we're going to see this. So Anderson Street, Lewis Street, Taylor Street, and Hay Street on the side corners. We want y'all to prepare yourself comfort street. Prepare yourself. We want you to stand in front of your yard. We're going to say a specific date. We want all the kids standing in front of the yard. There's going to be a drive-through with the COVID police in the front, the COVID police in the back. There are going to be three trucks. We're going to start off on Anderson Street. We're going to go on Lewis Street. Then we're going to go to Old Boat Alley. Then we're going to go to Hay Street. Then we're going to all the side corners and back to Taylor Street. We want all the kids on this specific date to be outside and they're standing in the front of their yard. And then you're going to have a special, special gift from persons who want to give back to the country. And they're sending it to Lenahan, Bahamas. And we want to thank Lucas and Lenahan, Bahamas. We're going to take this last break on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Inner city.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no love in the heart of town. Ain't no love in the shore of the city. Ain't no love cause you ain't around. When you were mine, oh, I was feeling so good, cause you love lit up this whole neighborhood.
Weekday mornings, join us for the show that's shaking up Bahamian radio. Morning Blend with Dwight Strong.
I must say, you all have raised the level of talk shows.
I think you have the best show that's going on right now for young people.
And I just want to tell you guys you're doing a great job.
For national and international news and entertainment, talk and analysis.
I'm impressed with the type of show that you're running.
With different perspectives from what you may be used to.
This station has really, you know, I think, gotten the country to really start thinking about things and stop looking at things from, you know, just from politicians' promises.
Morning Blend with Dwight Strawn, weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on Guardian Radio 96.9.
When are you guys going to be online? Because by the time I find myself just in my car, just holding on to every last word. I don't have a radio in the office, though. If I listen to you, I have to listen to you online.
We're online, guardiantalkradio.com.
Wake up, it's a new day.
Morning Blend business.
The economy.
Finance.
Business.
Industry.
Government sector.
Private sector.
Financial services.
Tourism.
Personal finance.
Investing advice.
Consumer issues. Consumer rights.
Trends and business opportunities.
Morning Blend business. Following Morning Blend every weekday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
It takes a village to raise a child, and it takes each and every one of us to grow the Bahamas. On the clock, we dive into the stories, we identify the issues, and we engage the people, organizations, and institutions that keep the country running. On the clock with Aaron Green, weekdays 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
It's happening. And it's all straight talk with no chaser. As Stephen Miller is unleashed on your radio each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's going to be smart talk, ideas, and innovation. Each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Only on Guardian Radio. Your station for fresh news and smart talk.
Hi, I'm Levin Miller, and I want to take this time to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a most prosperous New Year.
Welcome to the inner city.
Ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no
okay, we are back on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, and in the studios we have Lucas Metropolis, you know, being ambassador for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and ambassador for the United States of America, who has been doing some extremely great work here in the country. And he's looking to help improve the lifestyle of the inner city persons who reside in the inner city communities of Grandstand and Bainton and wherever, you know, we can lend a hand. And this is most important. And I wanted to bring Lucas on to show you
how we as citizens are working together to better our community and our country. You know, we are not no government entity, and for our government lends their support to Lenan Bahamas just recently over the course of the last 2 years or so, and that's because Lenan has been proving its work by doing community activities and doing great programs in the community. So government partnered on one or two small projects as part of a partnership. So Lucas, you see Lenan Bahamas doing great things. I want to say thanks to some person, especially the Dorset family, Ed Dorset, the late Nora Dorset, for a wonderful contribution of donating the property, First Community Center of Lenan Bahamas, to the future development of the inner city community, and also Porky Dorset. I also want to say thanks again to Alexander Millis and the Millis family. I want to say thanks to the Moscow family. I want to thanks to Miss Elaine Pinder. I want to say thanks to Antonio Roberts. I want to say thanks to many more out there who I can't really remember their name at this particular time, who have been contributing to the development of the inner city community of Nassau, New Providence. And I just want to say to the Bahamas, we are working together with or without government assistance, and we are doing this to try and make the country a better place for each and every one of us. Lucas Metropolis, who is an ambassador for humankind, not only here in Nassau, New Providence, and United States of America, but he is also a great human. You know, I guess, like he said earlier, anywhere he go, he was growing up with a father as a priest and a mom as a nurse. And I guess by you growing up in that family structure, you have a heart. And when you saw the need to bring assistance to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you did that without even once considering your education, because you took so many time with your studies. You know, you're still a young guy. And what are some of your studies?
What did I study?
Yes.
So this process actually helped inform what I studied. I studied public policy, kind of focused a lot on nonprofits. And I think, to be honest, Lend a Hand really professionally also geared me towards what I do, where I work with a lot of different schools and charities in the States mostly, and elsewhere, focused around building capacity and development. But no, Lend a Hand did a lot for me personally. It helped me grow, and I saw myself growing in conjunction. I mean, the situations I've been in since I was 21, just with Lend a Hand, whether it was good or bad moments, or solving problems with different people, or bringing people of different groups to the table, helped me a lot personally. But I know I had a donor once asked me before he gave a gift to Lend a Hand early on. He's like, you know, I want to give this gift, but first I want to know, how long do you plan to help? Like, what does this look like to you? And for me, Lend a Hand will be part of my whole life. I'm not going anywhere unless the Bahamas locks me out. I'll be coming back as much as I can to keep the organization, helping it, growing it, seeing all my friends that are here. And it's just been a really special time whenever I'm back in the Bahamas.
Wow. 1 second. Yeah. I see Miss Patrice Young. I see my sisters watching Nicole Lightbring. I want to say thanks to all my Facebook friends for being very supportive. But you're hearing what you can do as an individual. You know, when you put everything aside, when you put politics aside, you put religion aside, and you say, hey, you know what? I can make a difference. And Lucas, we have made a difference. We're headed now where we can help the Grunstown community out. We're here where we can also help out the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And we're here to also set an example. And like we said, we are building a village concept. And Lucas, you want to say anything to anyone who wants to support the upcoming fundraiser to continue to raise funds to continue to build it?
Yeah, one of the biggest things I'll say is for us, I always invite people to reach out and talk to Mitzi or Scrooge or others and tell us your ideas. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. There's a lot of really great programs going on, a lot of really great people helping on different communities. So really invite anyone and everybody to reach out to Lend a Hand on the Facebook, on the website. It's lendahandbahamas.org. Sign up for newsletters and updates and just reach out on Facebook. come volunteer, sign up to volunteer. And Justin, if you'd like to support, there's also easy ways to give online that has our information. Mostly right now we'll be raising funding for different programs that we'll be launching again in the new year. But again, there's just a lot of different opportunities to help out with us. I'm really excited. I'm really excited by everyone who's come forward.
Yeah, I could see great things happening for the residents of the community. I could see the future is bright for the kids in the community, for the teenagers and the residents. And I'm so glad that we're in close proximity because in Han, I'm still working, and we're tying in Lenahan Bahamas with the programs that I'm doing in the community because I'm a part of all of it, you know. So I'm continuing to work, and I'm tying in where we're going into empowerment zone soon. So we're looking to have tourists come over in our community in the near future once we get the area cleared up real properly and we bring some development. Like my restaurant is almost finished. We are finishing the parking lot soon. We're looking to purchase a lot to build a little small mini scrub market. And with the training that the kids are going to get from Lenahan Bahamas and the craft work and in that type of field, we have the space to allow those same kids that who get the proper training, anger management, money management, at Lenahan Bahamas, we'd have a slot for them at the particular property to be purchased and build some mini scrub market stalls that sells Bahamian authentic souvenirs. And we're talking anywhere from junk canoe dolls to wood carving to, you know, et cetera. We're going to allow the tourists to walk in the safe zone and spend a few dollars, you know. And I know Lenahan Bahamas is going to start a lot of these kids off of their small businesses and small business loans. So this is the whole initiative. So we want to be able to educate them in the community, provide ownership of the community to them so that they make sure to take care of the community. You talk of the fact that there was no break-in at Lenahan office. It's because the residents of the community know what the organization is all about. We have been helping people. We have been feeding people. We have been assisting people. So they respect that. So they're going to keep an eye out around that perimeter and make sure that no one's interferes with the building. That's because even when we're not there, they know what it means. And they know what it takes to bring an organization to help. Because, you know, it's very difficult to see a charity event that really helps. And Lenahan has been very, very helpful to the inner city community because you've been doing charity work for the last 3-4 years in the community. And even before that, Lucas, even before we got started with that, you have been doing charity work, and we're still doing charity work. So I just want to advise the general public, this is what is happening. We want to make sure that we empower the residents of the community. We had 7 million visitors prior to 19 months ago that visited the Bahamas. Now we're on a record. They're saying 7,000 visitors are supposed to come visit the shore very shortly or more. And we want to be able to tap into that. So this is what it's all about also. So in the community, we also provide empowerment. You know, so I think the future is bright, you know, because anything we do, we can have all the education and all that stuff. But if we can't find a way to empower people in their respective community, then it's still going to take us a little while to really, really develop. But once we look at the area and we develop the area, where we get up the tourists, stop the my restaurant, stop the local bar, stop the Lenahan Bahamas, stop the churches for history lessons, stop the historical sites, stop the some spots that we had set up in people's yard with a little sponsor from Lenahan Bahamas for small businesses in the community, like hair braiding. If a girl wanted to do a hair braiding, she get properly trained by Lenahan Bahamas. She finished the course 6 months to a year. When she's qualified, she has anger management training. She know how to interact with the tourists. We can look at her and say, hey, you living in a yard. Why not us build a little tuck shop for you, sponsor you all the equipment that you need to get yourself started, and we're going to monitor you. We're going to give you a startup funds, and we're going to monitor you, and then we're going to let you go for yourself. So that's what we're looking to do, a part of all this. So that's how we're tying in everything. You know, Lucas, I just want to say to you and to everyone that's a part of Lenahan Bahamas, continue to support Lenahan Bahamas. I want to say thanks to Sheila Pritchett, Mitzi Burrows, and the whole administration staff, and all those who support Lenahan Bahamas. You could say some Franco Lucas.
And obviously thank you to the whole board as well. A lot of really great people of all different walks of life that have come forward and offer their expertise and their help in the effort. But yeah, again, as Scrooge has been saying, I mean, welcome everyone to reach out. And if you'd like to support or make a gift by year end, we're also actively fundraising always for different projects. And it's going to be a really good 2022, and despite everything going on, I'm just really looking forward to all the things to come and the different partnerships that are being developed now that are going to come to fruition in the new year. It's going to be really exciting.
Yeah. Inspector Roxbury, doing all right, get you set up for next year. Next year, January, I'll come and interview you and talk about your T-shirt factory business. Okay? So I got you. I want to say thanks to all of my Facebook friends. We'd start a new show in 2022. That's what the producer said, Wally. So we'd see you next year, 22. And again, I want to say thanks to Lucas Metropolis. He's a foreign national. He's not a vehement, but he's a humanitarian. He's a man of the world. I want to say thanks to everyone who's a part of Lenahan Bahamas for doing such a wonderful job of supporting, volunteering, or whatever else that you're doing for Lenahan Bahamas. And I guarantee you the Bahamas, your funds, your time, your effort is not going to go in waste. You're going to see a lot of improvements with the kids in the community. You're going to see a lot of business owners. You're going to see a lot of development in the community. You're going to be so amazed to see the great things that are already happening in the Grantstown community. And I want to say to Lucas, again, you're a gem to us here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And please, keep on supporting Lenahan Bahamas. Okay? Keep on supporting. Because when you lend a hand, you're helping those in need to uplift them to become better citizens. And we want to get rid of crime and poverty. So I want to say thanks to everyone who listened to the show. I want to say thanks to all my Facebook friends. I want to say thanks to Shares, my sister, Nate, and everyone that tuned in to Inside the Inner City tonight. And I want to say thanks to my producer. And have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And to Lucas, have a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year. Okay? Thanks, everyone. See you next year. And enjoy the Christmas and the New Year's.